Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and the Bot, and we're down in Sacramento. And right now, we're watching as they honor the three heroes we're taking back to Arlington. They just brought the ashes back, and they're putting them, each urn, onto the vehicle that will be carrying them across country. So good morning. Hey, I want to thank Steve Gibson, who's there in the studio taking care, and of course, I want to thank Frosty and my soulmate, Linda Bott. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I'm also here. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, can you hear me?
Good morning, Linda.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. It's been an awesome experience. As you know, every night they're going to be having a funeral escort with the special design container with three of the fallen soldiers. There's Mays, Callahan, and Dunn. And actually, we have Callahan's daughter who's here. They're ready to leave for the Capitol, where Anastasia's going to be doing a special presentation and make it a Missing in America, some kind of special state award. But we're going to get Fred Salanti on right now, and as we're gathering here, we're trying to paint a picture of what's going on, where everybody's in their leathers getting ready to leave. But right now, our special guest, and we're so honored, the man who is the founder of Missing in America, Fred Salanti. Fred, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Fred, did you expect when you first started this, that it would end up with a trip across America like this?
Well, I think it's something that just happened, and everybody keeps saying, are we doing this again? It's not us that choose them. These soldiers chose us.
That's a great sentiment. You know, without you and the help of your people in this to bring awareness of what's going on with our veterans that have fallen and yet have never been claimed, and then now you're taking the three back to Arlington, two Silver Star recipients, and, of course, the Medal of Honor recipient.
Yeah, I think anybody that saw the festivities yesterday, and thank you, City of Readiness, Chester County, what a wonderful display. And down here in Sacramento as well, we have a wonderful group of people. And if you look around here, we see Buffalo soldiers in uniform, and they just loaded up our heroes to the back of our hearse. And so that just took place, and you'll hear from them in a bit.
Well, you know, before we take a break here, we'd like to introduce the daughter of one of our fallen heroes that's going back, Patty Callahan. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
So what do you think about this?
This is a dream come true for me and my family. I can only express my deepest respect for the group Missing in America Project and its executive director, Fred Salanti. They have made my father's wish come true ever since I was a child. He has expressed to be buried in Arlington with a 21-gun salute, and I could never make that possible. I've contacted the Navy for years and trying to get it done, and in 15 years I couldn't, and this group has made this possible in 2 weeks, and it's so wonderful, and this is an honor for me to ride along across America with this wonderful organization.
And that's what I was going to say, is Patty is riding for the first time on a motorcycle across country. Is that right?
Yes. I've been on a motorcycle for 4 hours 2 weeks ago. And today will be 8 hours. So
my
family is taking bets if I'm going to make it or call the airport to come and take me away.
Don't worry, you'll make it.
Yes, I'm okay. Riding with Fred most of the way, I hope.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Patty. And Fred,
thank you
so much for what you've done. and for everything that you do for our people, our veterans, and our country.
Thank you, Carl.
We're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Join us on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl in the Bot here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, my guest right now is the president of the Buffalo Soldiers chapter in Sacramento. His call sign is 1G. Good morning, 1G.
Hey, how you doing? This is 1G from the Buffalo Soldiers. We first got wind of this project a while back. It came through an email, and we were just excited that we can be part of this historic event because we ride on the name of the Buffalo Soldier, which comes into history of the Buffalo Soldiers who were in the military. And knowing that this was a military event, it kind of tied into what we were about. And then once we found out also that one of the remains of the heroes was an actual Buffalo Soldier, that really touched us also that we want to be sure that we was a part of this kickoff. So our chapters got involved where we will escort all the way back from Sacramento to Virginia. But this is a historic event, and it's a proud moment to know that these heroes will finally be get the recognition that they deserve from the community and family members.
Hey, that's great, 1G. Now, you've got one of your members that's going to be riding clear across the country. Is that right?
Yes.
And I've got that gentleman right here. So this is Highway. Say hello to the people in Reading there, Highway.
Well, hello. This is Highway from the Sacramento chapter of Buffalo Soldiers, and I will be riding all the way to Arlington, Virginia, supporting the Missing America project.
So, do you think? What do you think about this? I mean, you've taken a lot of your time and effort to do something like this. I know the motivation of everybody, but to drive clear across country is a big thing.
Well, you know, to honor all three veterans, oftentimes, society forgets about them. When we looked at Isaiah Mays, he was buried in Phoenix, Arizona, at one of the state hospitals in 1925. All this time he just sat there, and so the Missing in America Project found him and got a court order so he could be buried in Arlington, Virginia, in the National Cemetery.
You know, it's something. There's a Medal of Honor winner that, from what I understood, his plot wasn't even marked as a Medal of Honor recipient until like 6 or 7 years ago. So this is just another part of this great effort that's moving these heroes, fallen heroes across America, the Buffalo Soldiers, and 1G, the captain down here in Sacramento, and then Highway is going to be riding clear across. Great Americans. Okay, hey, Frosty, how much time we got before a break?
Got about 2 minutes.
Okay, great, because I've got Linda Hartman here from Shasta County Board of Supervisors and one of the prime movers behind this event. Linda, say good morning and tell everybody why you're here.
Thank you, Carl. It's an honor to be here, and I have to correct you a little bit. I really haven't had anything to do with the planning of this. It's all Fred and IAP, but I'm truly honored to have the opportunity to be of any help and support as we go across the country on this honorable mission. And I'd like to take just a second to thank all the people in Reading and Shasta County yesterday for the great send-off, especially Commander Gibson from CVAC and the Shasta Lake Lions Club, everybody that showed up. Mayor Bassetti read a proclamation, and especially Supervisor Kehoe for his very heartfelt comments. You know, that really gets to the core of what this is all about and how emotional it is for all of us. It's an honor to be able to be here.
That's super, Linda. You know what? It's because of people like you. Now, I talked to Linda's husband, Daryl, and I said, Daryl, you're in an RV. You're going to cross the whole country in an RV. And he said, you don't think I'm going to be in the back of a motorcycle, do you? So we've got somebody with a lot of common sense in the Hartman family besides Linda, too. So, okay, hey, Frosty, how much time I got?
It's break time.
Okay, hey, look, this is Colin LeBot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bot. Right here in Sacramento with the Missing in America Project, and we've got as our next guest, Buck. Buck's president of the Oregon chapter of the Booze Fighters. Buck, tell us what that is.
Well, actually, the Booze Fighters is one of the oldest active motorcycle groups in America. founded in 1946 in a little bar in Los Angeles, California by a bunch of veterans. Guys that just got out of the war and needed something to do to gave them the excitement of what they'd experienced for the last 4 years in the military. They raced, they partied, and they crashed a lot. And they, back in World War II, a booze fighter was an alcoholic. So, you know, a lot of people ask us if we're, involved with NA or AA or any of that. Actually, the booze fighters are a drinking club with a motorcycle problem. And we do have fun, but we also are very involved in the community. And we started with the MIAP when Fred Salante first started. We were guarding, doing security on the traveling wall with Fred the first time I met him. And from that grew a great friendship. And then when MIAP started, it was just a natural move to join him and be part of this. And we're very honored to be here.
Hey, Buck, that's one of the things that people don't really know about the Booze Fighters Motorcycle Club. Now, the original, if everybody remembers that original movie, that first big biker movie, the wild one with Marlon Brando and Lee Marvin, it was based on an event that happened in Hollister, California back in early 1947. But the main club that was there that got all the blame for something that really didn't even happen was the Booze Fighters Motorcycle Club. Is that correct, Buck?
That is absolutely correct. We are notorious for Hollister. Although it's been proven many times that we didn't do it, I'm not going to say we didn't have fun when we were there. Believe me, we still do everywhere we go.
Thanks a lot, Buck. This is just another of the groups that are supporting the Missing in America project that have come from all over to be able to ride across country in support of these heroes.
Okay, yesterday, driving up from Redding into Sacramento, I just want to add that we had two police escort officers that joined the group. There were probably 60 riders along with trucks and motorhomes. Linda Hartman and her husband and her three kids are on this trip. And then here we go. Here comes the Longhorn. In case you didn't see it yesterday, it's Buffalo. It's a concoction, and a creator with several hands to create this is our good friend Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Linda. How are you? Hey, this is a fabulous day. I want to thank Dave Cunningham for giving me this trike. I was going to buy it from him. He heard what we were doing and said, "Come get it. It's yours." So, with his help and a lot of people from Reading, we've been working on this for hours, got it ready to go, and we're rolling. And I'm very proud to be a part of this program. On the way down yesterday, we had people greeting, honking, and so on, but there was one lone soldier with a flag and standing in the field saluting as we went by, it's just a great thing that's happening here.
Hey, Frost, how much time we got?
You got about 3 minutes.
3 minutes left? Okay. We're going to wrap this up at this point, but we just want to talk about, again, for our people of Redding, the North State, things are tough up there, and yet our friends and our neighbors gave deeply to be able to send these heroes back. The fact that the people are on the overpasses, the people going by honking their horns and waving, it's something that really touches you. And to see the amount of of genuine care and concern really touches everybody.
And I just want to thank everybody who wished me a happy birthday. Some of my friends from Los Angeles were saying, "Don't you want to put on your 5-inch heels and dance all night in Vegas?" And my reply is, you know what? I can't think of a better place for me to be in the back of a Harley behind my husband with all these veterans. And I cried like a baby yesterday just feeling that sense of patriotism that was happening. And we love you, North State. We'll be back. We'll be back Monday, and just thank you for all your support. This is an incredible thing.
And I'd like to say happy birthday there, soulmate. Hey, Frosty, Steve, return this back over to you, but on Monday we're going to come back. We're not going to be as kind and gentle because there's some. We're down in Sacramento. If anything fires me up, it's being down in Sacramento surrounded by all the sucking sounds. So, let's see. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. This is Carl in the Bot from Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Okay, and we're back local again. After the news, headlines and news, we've got Monty Height in the studio, our old friend Monty Height from the California Highway Patrol. And he'll talk about the DUI saturation for Memorial Day weekend and the Start Smart program where teenagers can learn a few tips from the professionals on how not to drive the way you ought not to drive. Now Kelly's going to pause for the news. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Steve Gibson sitting in for the bots for the second half of this program, and Monty Height, our guest today. How you doing, Monty?
Morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Not bad, not bad. A little more clear than the cell phone broadcast, but that was better than I thought it would be. The cell phone coverage.
No, I was really proud to hear that they were participating in that whole operation. It's great.
Yeah. It's Fred Solani. He's I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's a very dedicated individual, a real sense of mission, you could say. Memorial Day weekend is notorious among you folks in law enforcement. A lot of people think of Memorial Day in various ways. It's unfortunate that you have to think about it as a bunch of drunks careening around on the roads.
Well, it's really actually kicks off the whole summer and sets the tone, and we're hoping that this year that the tone is way down there so that people realize that the importance of driving with a designated driver and that they continue operating at a higher level of understanding. And that goes through not just with alcohol but with all the other related, whether driving long distances or whether driving without rest or fatigue annoying types of habits that the kids come up with or the families come up with when they're watching DVDs when they should be driving and when they're listening to the things that they probably should be paying more attention to their road.
I don't have DVD players in my car. If I could afford to have DVD players in my car, I still wouldn't because I want my kids to have a sense of place. You know, to look at the landscape, to know where they are.
Well, you know, remember when we were younger and you'd play the games and you'd I Spy or you'd play,
sure.
play bingo in the car bingo and you'd do different
Even
things.
Even go through the alphabet from spotting letters on license
Absolutely.
Plates.
Absolutely, or road signs and things like
20
that.
20 questions.
And, you know, and we would show our age, and but that was part of our growing up, and I think that made us a little bit more aware of our surroundings, and that's not a bad thing.
It's a socialization, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say what the effect of being plugged into something all the time is. Well, they probably said the same thing about my generation.
Anyway, I do appreciate this opportunity to talk. We have a couple different programs going on. And just so, I'm the public affairs coordinator for the North State, which means that we have a bunch of, 13 counties in the North State that the California Highway Patrol Northern Division is responsible for. And out of those 13 counties, we have 15 area offices, and then we have two inspection facilities. And each one of those 17 offices and inspection facilities has a public affairs, public information. I'm sorry, we got that right now. Public mm-hmm. information officer.
And you're the master media wonk over all of them, aren't you?
Well, I try to help them. You know, I'm the old guy, and I try to help them out and provide information and materials. And then when we have something that's departmental-wide, something that's, you know, not just unique to Reading area, then I kind of come in and try to pass that information on to the public.
Like the DUI saturation.
Like saturation patrols or like the Start Smart program, which you alluded to earlier. And there's a bunch of different things and then that are statewide. And then I'm hoping that the public affairs, public information, I was a public affairs officer for so many years. That public information officer will provide that information out to the each community so that they can get involved in these type of programs.
You know, it may have been the Clinton administration that put some undue weight on that word affair. It's public affair, especially.
Yeah, yes.
Now, the Start Smart program, when I was 16 and I was learning, when I learned to drive, and I can't say I really learned to drive until a few years into my driving experience, I don't think there was a Start Smart program. If there were, I doubt if I would have been interested in taking it, but this is something for parents to get their kids into. Because the reason I said earlier, how to learn not to drive the way you ought not to drive, because they know how to drive. These teenagers know how to drive. They just, you gotta hammer into them the things you can't do.
They have the technical skills, they have the, and the vehicles today are a lot more advanced than what we used to drive. You know, if you had an old 8-track in the car, you were lucky, you know, an AM radio was the top of the line type of thing. But what this program does is it tries to continue that education process, because like you and I and a lot of folks, once, as soon as you got your license, you never wanted to see that parent in that car again. You were on your own and you were out and with your friends, and we've learned as a result of that, of being having your younger friends with you, and that we've had a lot of collisions, a lot of incidents, and a lot of distractions. And the idea is for the parent to continue, not on a daily basis, but every occasionally to get back in the car with the kid and do some commentary driving, do some discussing and remembering that, you know, the red light means stop, not slow down. The stop sign means stop, not yield. The speed limit is 55, not 75, and whatever it happens to be. And just to reiterate those things that we learned in the classes, but now we need to put them in real life.
And in this case, backseat driving is your job. It's your responsibility as a parent.
That's the parent's job. They're the co-pilot, and they're the ones that need to make sure that that their child is, or their kid is doing what they should be doing
while operating that lethal device. But when I was starting to drive, the distractions were outside the car, and the distractions within the car were all my friends packed in there way more than ought to be in there. Now they're all sorts of electronic distractions.
Oh, yeah, they're texting and they're playing games in the back seat, and we've got so many rules that our generation ended up causing the rules, because we have the seatbelt laws that we've had to take in the play. Because remember when you used to stick the whole football team in the back of the pickup truck and going down the road, and all those, we've learned from those things that we can't do those type of irresponsible acts.
I once carried 13 people in my 64 Ford F-150.
Yeah, and I don't doubt it at all. Yeah. You know? And it's so, well, hopefully we're going to learn from that. And the Start Smart program is to encourage the drivers and the parents to get together with law enforcement and sit down just for a couple hours and just kind of go over what the rules are and how we can make them a little bit better and safer driver.
And the way to do that is, folks, just call the office out the station at Cascade Boulevard and say that they want to come out?
Yep, they get a hold of Steve Roach. Pete Roach down there, or they can call the Northern Division office. We're trying to get the word out, as any CHP office they can contact, and we'll set up a time. And we'd like to maybe smaller groups. So if your son or daughter has a couple of different friends, you can get those groups of three or four and the parents to come along. That would be great. That would be really what we're trying to get across.
Now the Memorial Day saturation, you're going to have all sorts of extra officers on the road looking specifically for drunk drivers, and they've gotten really good. They're really high-tech these days. They can tell just what kind of a swerve means a swerve.
Absolutely. And I want to announce, because it's not a secret, that we're having a DUI checkpoint in Anderson. And the whole purpose of these checkpoints is not necessarily that we're going to just arrest scores and scores of people under the influence. The idea is to get the education information, make people aware that you're going to be out drinking. You really need to have a designated driver, or you shouldn't, or take other modes of transportation. And so with the Redding Police Department, the Shasta County Sheriff's Department, the California Highway Patrol, and Anderson Police Department, all part of Void the Five, they will have extra officers that will be out starting this afternoon, or Friday afternoon, and going all the way through Monday.
But that's only four.
And then we have the Shasta County Probation.
That's the other one.
Probation. Ah. They're the ones that are going to sneak up on those folks that forgot to remember that they're not supposed to even drink because they're on probation.
But can the probation department investigators, can they pull people over?
They usually pair up with a lot of the officers, and they'll be out there. They have peace officer authority, but generally they're not operating a marked vehicle. They're usually paired up with one of us, and we're assisting them going out on probation searches and doing that type of thing. So
it's amazing how many different kinds of cops there are. I just learned about a month ago that there's California Lottery Police. They did a sting operation here in Redding.
You know, we have so many, but they all have a unique purpose. ABC, Alcohol Beverage Control, is a very integral part in this whole program. They're not part of the Avoid the Five, but they're part of that whole DUI issue. And so
And the sting operations, of course, that are done in conjunction with local law enforcement agencies.
Yeah. Which Reading PD has been having great success with in trying to reduce the amount of alcohol served to or provided to minors.
Yeah, not just the clerks, not just the sting on the clerks, but the what they call the shoulder tap.
Right.
Hey, buddy, if I give you some money, can you buy me a beer operation?
That's right, in which we all remember you tried to do it, and it's just irresponsible of that adult, whoever it is, to do that, to provide that to the minor at this point.
We need to take a commercial break. You can call in if you'd like, 221-1402. News Talk 1400 KQMS. We'll be right back.
On Churn Creek across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
News Talk 1400 KQMS. Steve Gibson with Monty Height here from the California Highway Patrol. Talking about a few things. Another saturation campaign going on right now is Click It or Ticket, where if you're not wearing your seatbelt, you're not getting a warning.
No, you know, in the North State, we have a really good high percentage, especially here in Shasta County. We're a little bit above the state average, but we have a lot of folks that are passing through, and we want to share the wealth with them and let them know that we do not tolerate folks driving without their seatbelt on.
Well, we have a good rate of it here because people have those long gravel road driveways to think of it before they hit the asphalt. Oh, yeah. Also the Sober Graduation is coming up.
The Sober Grad is, you know, it's one of those programs that we've had here in Shasta County. And since its inception, we have not lost a single graduating senior on graduation eve, which, as you recall and I recall, we all, and anybody that's got a few years behind them remembers that we've all, graduation night and the next morning in the newspaper, on the television, or in the radio, you hear so-and-so died in a collision, and generally it was alcohol-related.
Sure.
And so the whole program is designed to keep the kids at a safe location, have the best time that they can remember, and get home safely. And that's our goal.
And prizes are often the bribe to keep them there, donated by local businesses.
Yeah, the local businesses are instrumental in this whole program, because without the private funding, because that's where it comes from. It comes from private funding. And literally there is, you know, over $100,000 that is spent every year. The chemical people are involved in this, trying to make sure that the kids have a reason other than just the fact that it's the right thing to do, that they're going to, maybe they'll win a laptop to take to college with them, or maybe a small ice chest to take with them to keep their sodas in.
Maybe not a car this year because times are kind of tough. I've heard that a lot of the Sober Grad programs are really low on funding. So any local business people out there who want to donate something, I'm sure they'd be accepted even at this late date.
Well, yeah.
And it's a worthy investment, certainly.
I've had calls already from several people, and we're right up to the deadline to say, hey, do we still have anything else? Is there anything else we can give these guys? It's other than our best wishes. That's pretty much it. Funding is really, really tough right now.
Bob is on the phone. He's been waiting for almost this entire program to say something. Bob, how are you this morning?
Yeah, hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
I got a letter from the United States Justice Foundation in Houston, Texas.
The United States Justice Foundation? I never heard of that.
It's an organization that keeps track of law enforcement, you know. They said Obama never proved that he was a natural-born citizen. He claimed he was born in Hawaii or Kenya. He has a grandmother in Kenya that made a tape recording that she was present at his birth in Kenya. And Obama never produced his birth certificate.
He doesn't have a birth certificate?
No.
So you doubt that he's... Well, he would be a naturalized citizen, wouldn't he? Yes, I mean, even if he wasn't born in the United States?
No, he was born in Kenya.
Why? You think he was born in Kenya because his grandmother said that?
Yeah, his grandmother had made a tape recording that she was president at his birth. And the United States Justice Foundation is suing Obama to produce the birth certificate, and he refused. Why did he do that?
I think it's too late now, Bob. He's already the president.
Oh, no, he could be impeached. Oh, yeah, because he's illegally occupying the office.
Now, if somebody asked me to prove that I was an American citizen and I was unable to unearth my birth certificate from whatever file it's burrowed itself into, I don't feel like I would have to prove that I were a citizen.
Oh, yes, you do. To get a government job, you have to. And to get a visa, you know.
Well, you need a Social Security number.
Well, yeah, that too. And, well, anybody can get a Social Security number, but you have to prove you're a citizen.
Okay.
And he refuses to submit that birth certificate. Why doesn't he do it?
I don't know, Bob. We got to take a commercial break now, though.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
We'll be right back after this break. News Talk 1400 KQMS 22. And we're back. Steve Gibson sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott this morning with Monty Height from the California Highway Patrol. We have saturated much of the points of traffic issues, and we were talking while we were off the air about this move to that California has petitioned the Supreme Court to allow a state law banning violent video game sales to minors. Governor Schwarzenegger and Jerry Brown, odd bedfellows, you could say, are petitioning the Supreme Court to reinstate the state law that bans the sale or rental of violent video games to minors. And, of course, when you ban something from sales to minors, what does every 13-year-old boy in the country want?
That's their mission. That's what they have to have.
Two Live Crew, a perfect example. In the early 90s, this Two Live Crew album that was garbage. It wasn't even a good rap album. But because it was banned for sale to minors, they all wanted it. That's what happens. Sales shoot up. I don't know if that's the effect of video games, but the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in February struck down the law as a free speech violation that could limit minors' access to other material under the guise of protecting children. The court said there are less restrictive ways to prevent children from getting a hold of violent video games. Well, like their parents, for one.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I found that when we go out and do these different presentations, that the kids are so immersed in the violence and the horror and the gore in these video games that they don't realize when the real thing happens that you can't push the reset button. There is no reset.
You don't have extra little guys at the bottom of the screen.
No, you can't go over and grab this and build more power or anything. Once you, in real life, when this happens, it's over with. You're done. I think they just have not grasped that concept.
Well, it's interesting that they're talking now about using the same legal justifications for banning minors from accessing pornography to apply those justifications to violent video games and build the law under the same framework as pornography, because that has been relatively successful in restricting it from minors. But I think one major issue there is how adults feel about it, because while most adults would agree that we don't want kids to get a hold of any, you know, pornography, I'm not sure that adults are quite as in agreement about the violent video games, and I think that's key to the success of such a law.
Yeah, absolutely. There's two different trains of thought on that whole thing there.
Okay, let's move on. You remember what was happening in 2001? What was dominating the news in 2001 when 9/11 occurred? The Chandra Levy case.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was the top story in the news. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. It was page 10 news.
Modesto, Madera, or down?
Somewhere down there. Okay. Yeah, Modesto.
Modesto, right.
She was found dead in a park in Washington, D.C., and had been working as an intern, I believe, for Condit? No. Gary Condit? Was that his name? They've arraigned or indicted the man who's now accused of that. So Gary Condit is clear, and, well, nobody cares anymore, apparently, because that's not dominating the news anymore.
In fact, that's the first time I've heard it since I heard it back in 2001, was when you just brought it up.
Interesting the way news works that way. It's, you know, your top story just means that it's more interesting than everything else. Mike is on the line. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Not bad.
Thanks. Hey, appreciate what you guys are doing today. Just real quick about these video games. You know, I've got a son who played some of these video games, both the really drastically violent ones and the not-so-violent ones, and he didn't turn out like anything other than a child is supposed to be. He's now in the United States Navy. He was a fireman prior to that. It's not the kids' issue. It's not the video games' issue. We need to get these parents parenting.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the issue.
There are a lot of things that, without guidance, could really screw up a kid in the head.
Yeah. Completely. You know, when we've got the power taken away from our educators and from our parents, and it makes it very difficult for our kids to have a fighting chance.
Power taken away from our educators? What do you mean?
Well, I know when I went to school, and probably when you went to school, it was the Board of Education hung over the vice principal's desk, if you may say. You know.
Yes, and they drilled holes in it so it could whistle through the air with more drama. Yeah.
I remember the sound well, unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember they sent a permission slip home, and the permission slip was, you can't use this on my kid.
Exactly.
So every kid wanted to get that sucker signed. They weren't losing that.
So, you know, when you take all that away from the parents and the educators, then, you know, what do you expect?
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Bye.
Monty, thanks a lot for coming in this morning.
Thank you for giving us, again, the opportunity to pass this information on to the public.
And the number at the phone number to call at Cascade Boulevard for the Start Smart?
Reading area is 242-3232. That's Officer Roach's direct line, and I'm sure he'll be happy to help you out with that.
And teach your kid how to drive. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning, and Rush is next.